Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
It makes you a privileged people. That's why when Jesus took the cup in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, he said, after the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As oft as you drink it, remember me. He's the reason that we have this covenant. But he wants us to remember him in the context of a new covenant in his blood. Amen. And if we fail to appreciate him for what he did, we're going to lose the first love. And if we fail to appropriate the benefits and blessings of the new covenant, we're going to live, amen, not as sons of God with a privileged standing. We're going to live just like anyone else lives, with some sense of desperation, hoping that maybe God will come through and meet our needs. Hallelujah. But I want to get, when we get through this morning, I want us to savor enough of the benefit and blessing of the new covenant that we don't live in a quiet desperation, hoping somehow that God will some way come through lest we perish. But we will live in a confident faith, hallelujah, knowing that we are the children of the Most High God, hallelujah, and we have a privileged standing before him. Consider the Lord's Supper as the savoring of the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 11, 25, we just read, tells us that this new covenant is established by the blood of Jesus. He did not say that out of mere historical interest. He said it because he wanted us to taste the sweetness of the new covenant when we put the cup to our lips. He wanted us to savor the pardoning and purifying power of the new covenant. You know, you can get so religious. The Bible said religion would be a predominant force in the last days. A false religion is going to rise. And the Bible spoke of so many religious people that don't really partake of Jesus. It said that they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. Can you say amen? How many know what God came to establish through the new covenant has the power to change you? It has the power to keep you. We are kept through the power of God. Amen? We're not talking about just his strength in our life, but his pardoning grace and love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It has the power to keep you from falling. Hallelujah. And going back into sin. This God doesn't leave us down here powerless. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can't find what you need in your life to live for Christ, I'm going to tell you something that may shock you. The change has not occurred. Amen. God gave you the power through the Holy Spirit to be changed on the inside. Hallelujah. It's part and parcel of the new covenant. And to demonstrate that change, we're not saved by works, but to demonstrate the change by works. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should perish. But then the next verse says, but we are created unto good works. Amen. The New Testament said we should show forth the praises of him, literally the virtues of him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know where we're going today. One of the great meanings of the Lord's Supper is that we as Christians are privileged to partake of the blessings and benefits of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. God's holy purpose in the new covenant is clearly seen in his prophetic promise to ancient Israel. This is what God always wanted to do and what he was able to do through the new covenant. He couldn't do this completely in the old covenant. It had to come in the new covenant. And it's prophetic. And the key text is in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Listen, for four precious promises in this covenant, will you? This is what God wants to do. This is what he's done through Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That means this is coming in the future. Here's the prophetic tone that is taking. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make, everybody say a new covenant. Say it again, a new covenant. That I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand Oh, I love, you know, you could just preach anywhere in this scripture. And he brought them out of Egypt. He didn't take them out as some God way up there with a people way down here. And he does something up there that affects things down here. He said, no, when I took them out of Egypt, I led them out by the hand. I want you to know that God's deliverances are not expedited from heaven to earth. It, God literally comes here. Hallelujah. And he gets involved in a personal and intimate way in the deliverance of his people. Amen. When Peter starts to sink, Jesus doesn't say, rise up, Peter. Amen. And cause the sea to lift him up. Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, just preach all over this sermon, this verse of Scripture. He led him out by what? By his hand. Hallelujah. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Those my Father has given me, no man shall pluck them out of his hand, hallelujah, my hand, for the Father is greater than all of them. We are the sheep of his pasture and the people of his hand, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I like that because that means his deliverance is not something just expedited from heaven or even carried out by angels alone. God himself gets involved in this thing. Hallelujah. He comes down, hallelujah, and comes into our lives. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a whole other sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Also, I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. He had a covenant commitment. But this shall be the covenant that I will make in the house of Israel. He said this was all done based on the old covenant. But I'm going to establish a new covenant. When Christ stood up at the Last Supper, this prophecy was getting ready to be fulfilled. It is to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. So this became the prophetic heart of God fulfilled at the Last Supper, getting ready through the cross and the blood of Jesus to be fulfilled. He said, I'm going to establish something new. Amen. I brought them out of Egypt based on the old covenant. He honored that old covenant up until Christ came to establish the new one. But this prophetic word begins to kick in the new covenant. Listen to it. He said, but this is the new covenant I'm going to make. Everybody say new covenant. Yeah. What did Jesus say when he stood up? This is the new covenant in my blood. This is the beginning of that God had always wanted to do, but he's going to do through the cross. Hallelujah. That's why I want to savor these covenant promises, these covenant blessings, this covenant love. It's powerful. It will not be broken. God said, you may break your end of it, but I'm not breaking my part of it. Hallelujah. Amen. If we deny him, he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. Hallelujah. They broke his covenant, but he brought them out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Because he had made a promise to Abraham. That's another message, but let's move on. Hallelujah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. The old covenant, it was placed on stone so they could see it and understand it. He said, that's going to change. My law is not just going to govern them from without anymore. A mandate from without, from a holy God, from a holy mount. My law is going to begin to govern them from within. It won't be on tables of stone, but it's going to get written on the fleshly tables of their hearts in the new covenant. The change is not going to work from the outside in. It's going to work from the inside out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's good. That's the first promise. I'm going to put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Second promise is that I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Everybody say, what a promise. I'll be their God and they will be my people. Hallelujah. There's power in being able to call him your God. And there's power when he calls you his child. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the Lord. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Oh, this is, everybody say revelation. He's going to give a revelation of himself through his son in the new covenant. amen, that they're not going to be all the time trying to get people to know the Lord. Listen to this, amen. This promise says, amen, they're not going to be saying every man to his neighbor, know the Lord. For listen, the covenant people, for they shall all know me. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
All the covenant people shall know the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you can't get saved and not know who saved you. Amen. You got to know. Peter knew the Lord. Amen. Who do men say that I am? He said, oh, there's all kind of speculators out there. He said, well, who do you say that I am? He didn't hesitate. He didn't speculate. Can you say, amen? This man who was not a theologian, not part of the Sanhedrin, but a humble fisherman said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Yes, and you're Peter, and flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father only. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody that's in this covenant knows God. And they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. It's revelation in the new covenant of God Himself. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. Everybody say forgiveness. I want you to savor forgiveness too today. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Every time, amen, that they've slayed another lamb to offer up as a sacrifice, both they and God were remembering their sin. Every time they went in the temple and saw that veil, there was a remembrance that a sinful people could not approach a holy God. But He said, in the new covenant, it's all going to change. In the new covenant, He said, I'm going to deal so thoroughly with sin. Amen. I don't want anything to remind me of your sins, and I don't want anything to remind you of your sin. I want that veil to come down. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want any more priests offering sacrifices. I want one high priest, one sacrifice lamb offered one time forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. Woo! I want to savor this communion. When I taste this fruit of the vine, when I taste this unleavened bread, I want to savor what He's done for us, because this is the new covenant that He said He would establish. And Jesus stood up and said, this is the new covenant. Can you say amen? Amen?
Amen.
You that are not savoring it, I can pick you out. Your religion has become routine now. Communion, the things we do, the praise, the worship service, the prayer, the word, it's all part of a religious routine, which is nothing more than a religious rut. Someone said a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Amen. It's a death that you just live in and run down through. Amen. There are many churches running through communion this morning, just running through it. It's part of the ritual. It's part of the routine. We think God is satisfied. Amen. When our devotion becomes ritualistic and routine, we're doing the right things, but with the wrong heart attitude. We're not appreciating and we're not appropriating. And if there's two words God wants to get across in this communion service, number one is appreciation. He wants you to appreciate what He has done through Jesus for you and what Jesus has allowed to happen through the cross. Amen. And He wants you to appropriate. If Jesus went to that length to establish a new covenant, how many believe that God wants you to live with the benefits of that covenant in your life? What a shame it would be for Him to suffer like that and us not to appropriate what He died to give us. That's what breaks His heart when people turn from the message of salvation. He died so they could be saved. And it breaks His heart. You know what thrills His soul? When people take hold and embrace the message of the cross. When they apply the blood of Jesus by accepting Him as their Savior. While they appreciate and appropriate the cross and become saved. That's the joy and the reward for His suffering on the cross. For the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? When one of us that was hopelessly lost and hopelessly damned accepted and appreciated the message of the cross and appropriated the blood of Jesus for our sins and came to Him, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Jesus said, that's why I suffered. That's why it was worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you really want to bless God for what He did for you on the cross, don't just sing Him a sentimental song. Live in the full benefit and blessing of what He died, amen, to provide for you. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. Every day that I walk in His blessing, I bless Him for what He did on the cross for me. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. Hallelujah! That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Why? So He could save us through Him. It wasn't some sick hatred of His Son. It was some great grand love for us that motivated Him to give His Son for us. Hallelujah. Living in healing is one of the ways when people hear me testify being healed, it brings glory to God. It honors God. It says that I have a covenant. Doesn't say that I'm hooked up with some Pentecostal ministry that has healing for its focus. It says I'm hooked up to a God that part of the covenant is that He would heal His people.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You didn't hear me today. It's the covenant. It's all about the covenant. Amen. What I put my hand to will prosper. Praise the Lord. God blesses me to be a blessing at work. Amen. I don't fully understand it, but sometimes things will just come to me. Praise the Lord. I mean, it just come to me. Boom, boom. God, drop it in your heart. Hallelujah. If you're doing everything to the glory of God, it's all about a covenant, praise God. He promised it. You can call on Him in the time of trouble because we have a covenant. Jesus said that God is going to establish a new relationship with you by establishing a brand new covenant. So if you want to bless Him this morning, live and receive and appropriate the benefits of the new covenant. Quit wallowing in guilt and self-degradation because of a past that God has forgiven and forgotten. Can you say amen? Amen! Doesn't mean that sin isn't an issue, but it's an issue that can be solved through the cross and the blood of Jesus. Men may never forgive. And if they do forgive, they'll give with this phony baloney forgiveness. I bless God, I've forgiven them. Oh, yes, hallelujah. But I will never, never, never. And you'll notice their emphasis is not on their forgiveness, but the fact that I will never forget. Can you say amen? Boy, I'm glad God forgets. I'm glad He don't call all that stuff back. Hallelujah. He said, this new covenant, I'm not going to be reminded by that veil in the temple. I'm not going to be reminded by the brazen altar. I'm not going to be reminded by the tens of thousands of lambs that are sacrificed. Hallelujah. Amen. From that point forward, when you get forgiveness, it is done. The blood of Jesus is appropriated and applied. And their sin, I will remember no more. Hallelujah. So God wants you to get, amen, out of this purple, blue funk that guilt puts you in. He wants your conscience sprinkled from evil. That means that you're not constantly thinking about what you did, but what He's done for you on the cross. And that doesn't mean that you live in secret sin or justify sin. It doesn't mean that you use grace to cover up for your old sinful heart. But it means that you really do business with God. You really repent. You really get cleansed. Hallelujah. But once that happens, you live and walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to not take these in order, but in the order of redemptive love. God promises. Number one, the basis for it all is the last thing mentioned. He promises to forgive sins. That's why the cup is called the new covenant, in my blood. Because Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. For the forgiveness of sins. I want you to savor the fact that your sins have been forgiven. But not just forgiven. They have been so thoroughly forgiven. You've been so thoroughly cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God said, I will remember them no more. He says in another portion of Scripture, as it is written, I will cast their sins away from them. Disassociate you completely from your sin. not looked at you in any way associated with it anymore. As far as the east is from the west, can you say amen? Isn't it good with your flaky past, your shady past, your ungodly past, that God looks at you in the new creation totally disassociated with that past? Huh. Amen. You need to celebrate your forgiveness, saith the Lord. You need to stand in your standing. You need to declare that I have made you righteous, and no weapon formed against you will prosper, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. The Bible said that forgiveness is not a light thing. In fact, forgiveness is the most costly thing in the world. There's nothing more costly than our forgiveness. Can you say amen? It cost Jesus everything to do it, but it's a done deal. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Listen to this. This is good. There's rejoicing over this, and there ought to be. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. I want you to be humbled when you remember the cross, says the Spirit. But I want you to be emboldened when you appreciate and appropriate what was accomplished there. I want you to receive the blessing and the benefits of the new covenant, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to this. So the foundation of the new covenant is God pouring out the blood of His Son in our place for the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say, in my place. He took my place. That's what I love about Jesus. He took my place. It should have been me. It should have been you. But He took our place. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. When we drink the cup of the Lord's Supper, we savor the promise and the purchase of our forgiveness. There's great rejoicing. That's okay. I'll preach loud. Turn me up. Hallelujah. I've got a Hans macaw. And I talk about my birds a lot because they're just sweet guys. And I love to hang out with them. And I learn some things from them from time to time. Go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. That's all right. Turn me up. It's okay. And when he learns new words and he's got an expanding vocabulary, he doesn't just mimic. There are words that actually parrot. That's where the word parrot comes. That parrot what you say. They don't know what it means, but you say it, so they say it. But he knows what it means. In the middle of the day, he doesn't say night-night time. But when it gets dark, he says night-night time. And if you hesitate in putting him on his roost, his bear in his cage, he says night-night time. He puts the impatience with it. He changes the tenor and the tone of it. So when he learns new things, it just blows us away. And Pamela was eating something one day, and we usually offer him something, you know, see if he wants some of it. And he's looking at it. He's looking at it, waiting for her to offer. She doesn't offer. It's the first time he ever used the phrase, but he uses it all the time now when anything is satisfactory to him. He says, "It's good." And boy, that'll melt your heart. You've got to give him some then. You know, it's like, "It's good." Yeah, it's good, David. You want some? Yeah. Oh, but then he adds to that. That's why we're using this word savor. We're beginning to savor, aren't we? The blessings and benefits of the new covenant. To really taste them and appropriate them in our life and partake of him and of them. Hallelujah. And then the next time he said that, but he added something to it. We gave him something as good. He said, it's good. And I said, yeah, it's good, David. It's good. He said, it's good. I said, yeah, it's good. He said, Now, that's a that's intelligent thought. I mean, boy, if we could just get in touch with Campbell's Soup and get him saying, good. Who put that new church out there for putting Davey on television? Amen. Hallelujah. So now if it's really good, he adds the to it. Amen. Because he's perceiving something as good and he's expressing how good that is. Amen. Well, God wants us to perceive and savor that being forgiven all of our sins is not a light thing. It's the most costly forgiveness and event in all of the world because it cost God His Son and it cost Christ His life on the cross. But the way we say thanks for that forgiveness is not by wallowing in guilt and the remembrances of our past. Amen. But disassociating ourselves from our sin like God disassociates our sin from us. Can you say amen? You are, in fact, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become brand new. Everybody say the forgiveness of sins. He said, I will forgive them, and I'll forgive them with such a complete forgiveness that I will remember their sin no more. That's why the veil was rent from top to bottom. This veil makes you remember your sin, and this veil is my remembrance of your sin. But when that veil is rent, He have disassociated you so far from your sin that there's no barrier between a people of the covenant and their God. Amen. His holiness and His demand for holiness will not keep you out because He's accepting you based on the blood of His Son. Can you say amen? That is so powerful. Not long before she died in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor in television in particular, Margarita Lasky, a well-known novelist and secular humanist, said, listen, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have no one to forgive me. You know what speaks to the secular humanist, what speaks to the secular world? That we savor and rejoice that we are forgiven. Can you say amen? Amen. People come to church with all kinds of past situations, but they rejoice in the presence of the Lord as if they were holy saints. How can they do that? For one reason, we're forgiven. We're in a covenant that disassociates us from our sin. Hallelujah. Carl Menninger once said that if he could convince, and he was a well-known psychiatrist, he said that if probably the father of modern psychology, one of them is Carl Menninger. But he said that if he could convince the patients in all psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the very next day. Guilt will literally drive you crazy. You can justify it any way you want to, but it'll lodge there and it'll stick there. Amen? And the wonderful thing about forgiveness from God is it absolves us of that guilt, that evil conscience. Amen? And gives us a sense of our standing with God. Someone said if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say a Savior. The second blessing of the new covenant is that God will not only forgive us, but He will change our hearts. Everybody say He'll change our hearts. We've got a cheap grace today that doesn't represent the new covenant at all. It doesn't even represent salvation. We're so hung up on not judging salvation by works that we think that you can have salvation without any change. Well, you can't. It starts with a change within. And the change is something that comes through spiritual regeneration. God can't spiritually regenerate you and convert you without changing you. And the change occurs on the inside. But it works from the inside out. Hence, work out your own salvation. That God has begun within, let it come to full fruition in the life. Amen. Second promise of the new covenant says, I will put my law in their hearts, Jeremiah 31:33, and write it upon their hearts. Remember the old covenant? It's written on tables of stone. The new covenant is written on the fleshly tables of the heart. That's a mighty change. The old covenant never changed anybody from within. For fear of being stoned to death, you didn't commit adultery. The New Testament, the reason you don't, is because you got a new nature. And it's not your bent to sin. That doesn't mean you can't, but you can't do it, amen, with impunity. Amen, it's against the new nature. The Bible said His seed remains in us, that we sin not. His nature has been imparted to our spirit. Amen. That's why the call to holiness is not a foreign call. Amen to God's people. It doesn't hurt and it doesn't harm God's people. Can you say amen? Listen to this carefully. This is beautiful, beautiful premise here that we're going to be changed on the inside. In the old covenant, the law of Moses, the law was written on stone and could not justify or sanctify. It was external and powerless to change anyone. God ordained that in its place would come a new covenant. By it, He would put the law of God not before us on stone, but in us by His Spirit. And by His Spirit, He would make His will our delight, not just our duty. Oh, you didn't hear me. The new nature, you're not just keeping rules. You're serving a God that you love. There's a difference. It's a discipline born out of devotion. Amen. That means it's a joy to serve the Lord, not a job. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Can you say amen? Remember that. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of those who follow God is a whole different attitude and atmosphere. From ancient times, it's been God's great desire and design to change fallen man. To get to the heart of the matter, the root cause of all his rebellion and sin, to change our hearts. Ezekiel 11, 18 through 20. Listen to it. And they shall come thither and take away all the detestable things thereof and the abominations thereof thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Now, that change within is going to affect things without. Listen, that because of that change within, that they may walk in my statutes, keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people. That's bringing us something that's coming. And I will be their God. Can you say amen? All of this stuff they're doing right without started with God doing something within them and them permitting it. Can you say amen? We got into the holiness movement initially and we thought the change, what we were taught, it comes from the outside in. It works from the outside in. Amen. The religious crowd of Jesus' day thought that too. Amen. They cleaned up the outside while inwardly, amen, the Bible said they were full of dead men's bones. Can you say amen? This life starts on the inside. Yeah. And it works its way into the outside. He said, if I can change your heart, if I can give you a new bent toward righteousness, then you'll begin to keep my ordinances. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I can change your heart, you'll begin to do the things I command you. And they won't be mere religious duty. It'll be something you want to do because you've got a new heart. They will have a new bent toward obedience because their hearts have been changed. Oh, you know this scripture so well. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The change has come, hadn't it? Old things have passed away and all things have become new. That word new in the Greek means a new kind. Hallelujah. Unprecedented. Novel. Uncommon. And unheard of. It's that kind of new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thomas Watson puts it this way. By the way, he wrote this 350 years ago, and it's from the book A Puritan Golden Treasury. If a malefactor Oh, listen, there's a biblical reference. There's no, let me make this statement first. There's no biblical record. No biblical reference. And that's where we need to get our truth from, the Bible. There's no biblical reference of God saving anyone and leaving them captive to sin and to Satan. He came to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. It wasn't enough to give Lazarus life. He said, loose him and let him go. He's got to have liberty. Hallelujah. There's no evidence of God ever saving anyone without changing their heart. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Work this salvation from my inside to my outside. Thomas Watson, 350 years ago, but boy, this rings true today. If a malefactor be in prison, how shall he know that his prince hath pardoned him? How's he going to know that he's been pardoned? He asks the question, then it's rhetorical. He answers it. If a malefactor be in prison, how shall he know that his prince has pardoned him? And he answers it this way. If a jailer come and knock off his chains and fetters and lets him out of prison, then he may know he's pardoned. So how will we know God has pardoned us if the fetters of sin be broken off and we walk at liberty in the ways of God? This is a blessed sign that we are pardoned. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Change comes when Jesus saves. The new covenant says God's going to change you from the inside out. That's why I got a letter from Gastonia, North Carolina, from a young lesbian woman in a culture that's promoting her lifestyle is just simply an alternate lifestyle. But she felt it was sin and she wanted to become a Christian. But she said, I can't walk in his ways. The way with these feelings, these intense feelings and desires. But she wanted to be a Christian, but she said, I can't become a Christian because I can't change the way that I am. So a message came to her from Tampa, Florida. No, she was in Charlotte, I'm sorry, Charlotte, North Carolina. Because we had been on the air in Gastonia and went off the air, and they called back and asked, can we replay your tapes for nothing because we have a slot to fill until someone fills it, and we believe your broadcast is a quality broadcast. Now, folks, it is extraordinary that a radio station will give you free time because they're in the business of selling stuff to keep the station on the air. They sell time, and that they would choose our tapes. If they saw the church, they probably wouldn't have. They just heard the word and said it's quality. Yeah. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Maybe we preach better if no one sees us. So you that are listening to the tape, don't even think about where we are and how many there is of us. Just receive the good word of God. Forget the image and get the substance of this thing. Amen. So it was during another 6 weeks period that they ran our tapes for free. Amen. They said, we still got the masters. Can we keep them and run them for free? I said, run them for free? Run them things, man. Get the word out. If God wants to get it somewhere, get it somewhere. Hallelujah. It's out of my hands, but God took it. And he took it by a little small local station, but he let that station bleed over into Charlotte, North Carolina. Can't you see the winds of God blowing the radio waves over into Charlotte, North Carolina? And a young lesbian woman wanted to become a Christian but couldn't change herself in Charlotte, but feeling there's got to be a change if I'm going to follow Christ, but I can't change myself. Heard a message that kids hear in Sunday school a lot of times about a giant named Goliath and a man named David under the anointing of God that could take that giant down. And she said, I saw it so clear. This was the giant in my life. But God, through his Spirit, would help me slay that giant. And she said, I cried out to God to change me. Forgive me and change me. And Brother Venable, he did. And I am free to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. I love that. Makes a lot of people bristle who don't want to change. I want to change. This is not just about homosexual tendencies, but heterosexual tendencies that have gone awry. People, listen, this changes for everybody. Amen. Lust is a problem to everybody. Homosexual, heterosexual, God wants to change us from the inside out. Hallelujah. We need changing as much as the homosexual community. if we're in the heterosexual community and we're not in control. And we're out of control. The preacher caught in the motel needs that change just like she needed that change. Thank God that change is available through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to read you something from a young woman. Her testimony recently put on the internet. I love it. It's talking about the changes that can come because this is unprecedented, unheard of, uncommon and novel, a new kind. Amen. That's what this new means. This is a story of a straying daughter, a doubting mother. You can get to the place that you don't think your kids could ever be changed. Amen. A praying brother who interceded for his sister and had faith that God was going to bring her in. A saving father. Not talking about her earthly dad, but her heavenly father. Her name is Miss Davis, and she shares this testimony. Hello, saints. The Lord has brought me a mighty, mighty long way. I began using drugs at age 16. I started out smoking marijuana. At around age 20, I experimented with cocaine, snorting. At around 19, I was an avid drinker of alcohol. Then at about 23 years of age, I was introduced to crack cocaine. And that was the day that my world began to truly end. I had a bout with that monster for approximately 11 years. And this is in big block letters, 11 long, hard, miserable years. During those years, I have been raped, beaten, shot at. My life threatened with guns put to my head on 3 occasions. And now to this day, as a result of being pistol whipped with 3 pistols by 3 guys who all raped me when they were through, I now have only one eye. So now I remember where I have been every day. That the God that the Lord allows me to wake up and see. I remember where I've been every day that the Lord awakes me up to wake and see. I remember where I've been. Every day she gets up, she's saying, I remember where I've been. Every day He lets me see. See, there are some people that scripture, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Rejoice and be glad in it. I was so wrapped up in that life, I didn't want anyone to stop me. Not mom, not dad, not anyone. I just wanted to be left alone to destroy this life that God had given me so graciously. Well, 2 years ago on New Year's Eve, I was on my way to get high with another drug user. After arguing with my mom to let me go there, I won the argument. But little did I know that after I'd gone out the door, my brother, who was praying, told mom, she'll be back. Don't worry. Mom looked at him as if he was crazy for saying that. Because I was so deep in the throes of my addiction that there seemed no hope. He works in mysterious ways, as we all know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love it when people write from the heart? I mean, they're just like she's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I like that too. As I was going down the street about 2 blocks, someone told me to go back home. I turned around, walked back home, went to bed, went to sleep. And woke up the next morning on New Year, already in. And that's not it. Not only did He bring me home to stay, but He took the desire to do drugs, drink, and hang out completely away. Hallelujah. I've been home for 2 years come New Year's Eve. And I thank God Almighty for this chance to come in out of the cold of that dark life of despair and pain and suffering. Thank you, Jesus. I am now a church member who was called to be a deaconess at my church. I am so grateful for the chance to serve God who gave me life again. And wait, it gets better. I serve a powerful God. That New Year's Eve that my life was given back to me was life given twice. I was 7 months pregnant. When I gave birth in March, my son was healthy, clean, and smart as a whip. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's called shouting on a letter. Can you say amen? Every day is a testimony to me of the God we serve, who is full of love, compassion, and who is forgiving. I will tell this story to anyone who will listen over and over again. I cannot thank God enough for what He's done. But I'll spend the rest of my days here on earth serving Him as best I can. And when He calls me home, I'll praise and worship Him forevermore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory! The old covenant couldn't change anybody. But the bringing in didn't make anybody righteous, therefore. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Can you say amen? Chuck Swindoll laments, said this over and over again, that one of his great heartbreaks as pastor of a huge successful church is the realization. He said, the longer I live, and he said this on radio from his pulpit, he said, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that many people in my congregation don't know Christ as their personal Savior because there is no demonstrable change in their life. Can you say amen? Good pastors are not satisfied with people coming to altars. They're not satisfied with people being baptized in water. They're not satisfied with people signing a financial contract with the church. They're not satisfied with them building, amen, a new edifice for the church, amen, to worship in. They won't be satisfied until they see the work of grace within the life of those people. They want people ready for heaven, hallelujah, not just new buildings to say we're successful. Third blessing of the new covenant to be savored is that we can have an intimate fellowship relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Anybody that gets saved, a door is open for a fellowship relationship. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For they shall know me, saith the Lord, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, they shall all know me." All covenant people know the Lord. Can you say, man, if I could ask you, do you know the Lord in terms of having come to Him and being accepted by Him through Jesus Christ, you would immediately answer, if you're a Christian, you're truly saved, yes, I know Him. You won't tell me about when you were baptized to answer that question or what church you're affiliated with, amen. You will begin to tell me about something that happened when your sins were forgiven. You came to know Him. God promises that all the covenant people shall know their God. This is something He's always wanted, is to make Himself known through relationship to man. But sin, He said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor hand short that it cannot save, in the book of Isaiah, but your sins have separated. You've created a chasm between you and your God. The third promise is the new covenant, that all of the covenant people shall know God from the least to the greatest. Everyone in the new covenant knows the Lord. The church, the true Israel, is the gathering of those who personally know the Lord. The covenant people are no longer defined as all the people born to covenant members. The covenant people know the Lord. They have a relationship with the Lord. That's why the first sign of belonging to the new covenant is baptism. And it's not given to children, but to people that have come to know the Lord through the forgiveness of sin. We don't sprinkle kids and call them baptized. Because baptism is symbolic of having your sins forgiven, being buried with Christ and raised for them. They have to come to a born-again experience for baptism to be meaningful to them or to God. We don't want them growing up thinking they don't need to be born again because they were baptized when they were an infant. We'll anoint them, we'll dedicate them. But baptism is for the believer that has trusted Christ. And if they do it at 5, we'll baptize them at 5. But they can't do it when they're babies. Just thought I'd throw that out to you. You don't come to Christ by being born into a Christian home. You come to Christ by receiving Him as your personal Savior. Hallelujah. It's only given to those that give evidence of knowing the Lord, baptism. And the other ordinance, the ongoing ordinance of the Lord's Supper, is the savoring of the glorious truth that the blood of Jesus purchased our personal relationship with the Lord. Remember the Bible said the just has suffered for the unjust? That great chasm be closed. Amen. Hallelujah. That He would bring us to God. That means we've been reconciled. Say it with me, reconciled. A great word in the new covenant is reconciliation. Hallelujah. When Christ shed His blood, He secured the personal knowledge of God for all His people. And we savor that great grace when we drink the cup. Can you say amen? Colossians 1:20-22 says, And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemy, enemies in your mind, not sometimes, but sometime. Amen. You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. Everybody say, by the giving of himself. His own body on the cross. Amen. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you. Look at how you're going to be brought before God because he took your punishment. He's going to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Honey, this is the God that knows you from the inside out, that there's nothing hid from the eyes of him whom we have to do. But Christ said in the new covenant, because I'm giving myself on the cross, when I present you to my Father, I'm able to present you before this great God and this great judge in this condition. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it means to be reconciled. God said your sins are gone. I don't associate you with them. So come on. I have nothing to charge you for or reprove you for. Amen. Savor that when you drink the cup. Savor it when you eat the bread. Through his flesh, we have this glorious privilege. Savor it when the devil comes to accuse you and cast you down. If there's sin, it's a terrible thing. Amen. It costs Jesus everything to forgive you. Appropriate the blood of Jesus. Confess it openly. Hallelujah. Four spiritual laws. If you want to win somebody to Jesus, the first one's the first tenet to win anybody. It's convince us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. After a long message in Sunday school to little preschoolers, she asked them, tried to explain it on their level. She said, what is the first thing we need to do to get forgiveness of sin? I want to see if the class got it. The five-year-old boy in the back immediately raised his hand. Pick me. So she picked him for the answer. And he said, sin. First thing we need to do is to get forgiveness of sin is sin. You know something, he's right. You got to sin. You got to understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I listened to Channel 22. They had a guest that's supposed to be a prominent preacher and another prominent pastor beside him. And they were talking about that you don't win the businessman and the educated man and these people out in our culture today by talking to them about their sin. You tell them that they can be optimized. You tell them that they can come into the fullness of what God has designed for them and they can become their total, complete self when they receive Jesus. You don't talk to them about sin. I'm sitting there with my mouth open wanting to go up and kick the television a few times. Can you say, man? That's wrong. We've all sinned. If we confess our sin, amen, he's faithful to forgive us. We have to come to the place of humility and brokenness because of our sin that we look up to a Savior. Can you say, amen? Hallelujah. A Savior means nothing unless you acknowledge you're a sinner and you need his salvation. I believe we need to preach that there are sinners. Amen. Paul said, among sinners, I was the chief, but I have been privileged to enjoy this grace of God. I've been changed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to this in the NLT, it's a New Living Testament. It says, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now has he brought you back as his friends. He has done this through the death on the cross. Through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he's brought you into the very presence of God. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. When you eat the bread this morning, I want you to know that privileged place was bought with a terrible price through his body. He broke the bread. What did he say? This new covenant is going to be established. This one that God wanted to establish in ancient Israel. But now it's going to happen. But it's going to come at a cost. This, my body is going to have to be broken for you to enjoy this standing. One of the ways for you to enjoy this standing, listen to me carefully, is not to just get sentimental over the broken body, but to get absolutely committed to appropriating the benefit of what he suffered to give you. I want victory today because Jesus died to give me victory. I want liberty because Jesus died to give me liberty. I want to overcome because Jesus paid a price for me to have the power to overcome. I want to appreciate him by show my appreciation. Listen, this may never occur to you, but God wants to get it into you. He wants you to love him and have your heart melt, amen, and fall before him in humble obedience and adoration. But he wants you to get up in bold faith and confidently live for him. Hallelujah, and claim the benefits of the new covenant. And Savior, Satan the accuser, we overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. And we've got a testimony to that effect. Can you say, man, that God honors, hallelujah, when we testify to that? We love not our life unto death because we're wholly committed to him and his cause. But know something, accuser of the brethren. You don't have a leg to stand on when you try to accuse me. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. When you pray, you need to pray as a new covenant child of God. You need to pray in this standing, hallelujah. If there's sin, get it under the blood. And once it's under the blood, stand in your standing. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, we've been reconciled, brought back into a state of harmony. That's what it means with God. What Adam lost, the cool of the day, God walking with man. It's already. That part has already been replaced. While we're here, God is with us. When we go to heaven, we're with God. But you don't wait for heaven to enjoy his presence, his acceptance, and his love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Fourth and lastly, we need to savor the new standing with God. We are his people. He is our God. It makes a difference when you can speak of him as your God. And it really makes a difference when he acknowledges you as his child, his people, his sheep, as he puts it. Can you say, man? The Old Testament writer said, we're the sheep of his pasture, the people of his hand. Hallelujah. When Paul wants to convince people that God's blessings are real and tangible and they're coming, amen, he says, my God. Not just the God, the great God, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. I like Revelation 21, 6. Well, by the way, it said, I will be their God, they shall be my people. It's the last tenet of this covenant. Revelation 21, 6 and 7 says, and he said unto me, Jesus said unto John, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. We're getting to the end of the book of Revelation now, the summation of it all. Getting close in Revelation 21. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He started it that way. He summed it up that way. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Everybody say, everything provided by the new covenant.
Everything provided by the new covenant.
Hallelujah. And here's something he gets that's better than any of the rest. It's the basis for all the rest. And I will be his God. And listen, and he shall be my subject? No, he shall be my son. Come on, this is a personal God. Does it say son? Amen. And I will be his God and he shall be my what? My subject? No, my son. He's not saying, I'm the creator, you're the creature. Although he is the creator, we are the creatures he created. Amen? This is not just a creator-creature relationship that's been restored. The angels are called the sons of God, but not this kind of son. This is a son by adoption. This is a son. Oh, my moho, shut up. Don't get me started. We'll never stop. This is a son. Legitimately, bona fide, brought into the family, listen, Jesus started out with one son. This is my only begotten son. But he didn't stop with one son. You know what Paul said to the new covenant church? Now ye are doesn't appear what we shall be, but let's just dwell on what we are right now. That's enough to give us glory until we get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we are the sons of God. Not sons by creation like the angels, but sons by recreation. Sons by redemptive love. Sons by adoption. Sons by an act of God of redemptive love that brought us into His personal family. So Jesus talks of us that way in the new covenant. Like no one could ever talk in the old covenant. When He got ready to go away, He said, I'm going to my God and your God. I'm going to my Father and your Father. He said, heretofore you've been talking to me. You haven't asked the Father anything in my name. But He said, that's going to change as you understand the new covenant. He said, in fact, I want you to ask the Father directly. I do not say that I need to pray for you. His intercession is so we can talk to God direct, not so He can do it for us. I love Catholic people, and I want them to know Jesus in this full-blown salvation relationship. But you don't need Mary to pray for you. You don't even need Jesus to pray for you except to intercede for you to the Father that on the basis of His death, He accepts you. But once that's established through the new covenant, Jesus said, I'm not going to say that I'm going to pray for you, for the Father Himself loveth you, and whatever you ask the Father directly in my name, He'll give it you. Can you say amen? For the Father loves you. John 17, He prayed this for us, new covenant crowd. He said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me and we're one in one another. I want them that believe on me to be in us like I'm in you and you're in me. Put them in us in the same vital personal relationship. So Paul said, there's been a change. He's our God. He's our Father. God. And the Holy Spirit bears witness when we cry Abba to Him. The only person in the universe that could say Abba Father. That wasn't just terms in Father of creation, but in paternal relationship. Can you say amen? Indeed, God is the Father of all created things in that general sense. But this is not talking about that kind of fatherhood. You know, you've heard of the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about legitimate, genuine, bona fide sonship. We're called, listen, and based on that premise, to show how legitimate it is, Paul said, now we are the sons of God. And if we be sons of God, come on, then we must be heirs of God. That shows you what kind of sonship he's talking about. And if we are heirs of God, everybody say, boggle the mind, boggle the mind. Hallelujah. This is mind-boggling. We are joint heirs. Joint heir? Jesus said, you know you're a joint heir if you're a son like I am. He said, everything the Father has is mine. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to take of mine, which is what did He say was His? Everything the Father has, because He's the direct heir of it all. He says, everything the Father's got's mine. And when He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will take of mine and S-H-E-W, communicate it to you. Wow. The Bible said we've been buried with Him. We have been. See, from this point on, you're associated with Him. Completely. There's no. I mean, we have been buried with Him. We have been raised with Him. And we have been. Oh, everybody say, boggle the mind, boggle the mind. And we have been seated with Him. Seated with Him? You know what it means in the Greek? If you studied that, what it means? It doesn't mean He's seated at the head of the table and we're all seated down through the table. That would be glorious. That would be mind-boggling. That would be wonderful. Jesus sitting at the head of the throne on a big chair. You know, the big chair sits at the end of the table. Did you say amen? Hallelujah. Put that big throne chair right at the head of the marriage supper. Amen. And then put all the chairs out and all of us, we sit down through there. And you know, but Paul said, wait a minute. If you're joint heirs with Jesus, You've been buried with him. You've been raised with him. You've been seated with him in heavenly places. It means joint seating.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Joint seating. Everybody say joint seating.
Joint.
Everybody say boggle the mind. It's mind-boggling. But God said, I want you to be in a place in my heart that is the same place that my only begotten shares. So I'm going to adopt you and give you the full benefits of that kind of relationship sonship. And the church said, ho-hum. You don't believe in joint seating? That's how God privileges you, to be honored with his son. I didn't say that. Your Bible said that. If you've got a problem, you've got a problem with the book. Everybody say the book. At some point, you're going to have to start bowing to the book. I'm not interested in what your preacher thinks. I'm interested in what the book says. If he don't think according to the book, I don't want to hear what he thinks. It's not worth anything to me. I don't care what you think this morning. Amen. God wants to change your stinking thinking. He wants you to get you out of this blue-purple funk that you're in. Get you in a communion service where you actually appropriate the benefits of this covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joint seating doesn't mean that you're God or you're deity. It means that God has given you a privileged place in his heart. Where once only Jesus could sit, now you sit with him. Hallelujah. Amen. The servant seated with the king because you're brothers, you see. Can you say that? If George became a billionaire on the level of a Bill Gates, I would constantly remind him, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. I would like to sit with him, not just sit beneath him. The true test of our friendship was, would he still be my friend when he gets that high? Could I sit with him? God called us friends. It's a different thing. It's not creator-creature anymore. It's dad and his children. His sons. Hallelujah. So, sons do not have to beg or plead for what is theirs, graciously granted and given to them by their father. Sons boldly accept what is theirs. Yea, saith God, boldly accept what is yours. What the sacrifice of my son has given to you. Take it, eat it, drink it, and live it, and bring him glory, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close with this. This is not a creator-creature relationship. It's not a king-subject relationship restored. This is a father-son relationship whereby we now cry, Abba, Father. I will be their God and they will be my people. It means that I have a heavenly Father. This is a family thing. This is not just God over a nation, but it is a Father in your heart and in your life. Of all his greatness and beauty comes to us for our enjoyment. He's our all-satisfying God. We are his satisfied people. When we drink the cup of the new covenant, we savor this, that our God is our God and that we are his people. It marks us. And in doing that, we love Jesus because it was his blood that brought our forgiveness. His blood that brought our delight in God's law and changed us within. His blood that brought our personal relationship with God and his blood so that God could stand over us as a people and say, I'm your God, and you're my people. So we sum it up by saying these words, live by faith in the great gospel, the new covenant truth of the Lord's Supper all the time. By faith, your sins are forgiven. The will of God is becoming increasingly your delight and not just your duty. Is that okay to say to us this morning? You know him personally. How many are getting to know God better? than you did a few months back. And He's your God. Savor this when you drink the cup. And make this truth the means by which you live.